وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنة إلى يوم الدين. All praise due to Allah and Allah's peace and blessings be on His last Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and on all those who follow the path of righteousness until the last day. The topic of today's khutbah basically was Ramadan greetings. The Imam greeted all of us who are fasting and asked Allah to bless our fast and the various righteous deeds that we may do during Ramadan. And among those deeds, he reminded us of the importance of completing the recitation of the Quran, not as a ritual, but in following the Sunnah or the way of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. It was his practice in the month of Ramadan to revise all of the Quran that he had with him. And as such, we are encouraged, now we have the complete Quran, we are encouraged to revise that Quran during Ramadan. Also, the Imam encouraged us to take part in the night prayer, which comes after the compulsory prayer of Isha. Though these prayers are not compulsory, they are only recommended. Again, there is great reward in them from the benefits that we get out of the prayer personally, as well as the reward of following the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he mentioned that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, during the first Ramadan in which these prayers came into being, that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prayed in the masjid, and some of the companions saw him praying there after Isha and began to gather around him. The second night, when he came back, he did the same after Isha, and more of the companions gathered around him. And by the third night, when the word had spread that he would be praying after Isha, and the large group of the companions waited there for him, he did not come out. He didn't come out of his house until the next morning, for Fajr. And in Fajr, when they asked him about this, he explained to them that he feared that if he had come out, he continued to come out, that this night prayer would become compulsory for them. So, out of mercy and compassion of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ for us, he ensured that these night prayers would only be recommended for us to do and not compulsory for us. And of course, from the action of his sunnah here, we know that these night prayers may be in the masjid with an imam, or they may be in one's home with one's family or with a group of one's friends. It's not compulsory that it be in the masjid, but that we should strive each of the nights of Ramadan to spend some time out of that night in prayer. And we should remember that our efforts to read the Quran during Ramadan and to awaken at night for prayer should not be something which we do only in Ramadan, but something which we do throughout the rest of the year. That which we do during Ramadan is really only a training, a form of training for us, to get us into a particular mode, wherein during the rest of the year we will recite the Quran, read the Quran on a regular basis, and we will get up, though not necessarily every night, but at least some of the nights, you know, of every week, we get up by ourselves and pray in the night. Prayer which Allah through his Prophet Muhammad has described as the best of prayers, outside of the compulsory prayer. The best of prayers is that prayer made in the middle of the night when one gets up all by oneself. Because there is no way that one can do so for showing off to others so that others may think that we are pious or whatever. You know, when one gets up in that point in the night when everyone else is asleep and it is just between us and Allah, for sure, we will find in those prayers a level of sincerity that we may find difficulty in finding in our other prayers. So this is why it is recommended for us to purify the quality of our worship, so that the rest of the prayers, the compulsory and the other prayers which are recommended during the daytime, would take on a quality of sincerity which would earn us the kind of rewards that Allah has set aside for us in praise. And the Imam, in greeting us with Ramadan, giving us his congratulations for the coming of Ramadan and being among those who fast, was following the Sunnah, the way of the Prophet Muhammad, which was to greet his companions with the coming of Ramadan. And this is an important point, because it may enter in the minds of some of us that perhaps this greeting that people tend to do when Ramadan comes may be in some way an innovation. This greeting for Ramadan may be in some way an innovation, what is known as a bid'ah. And what comes along with it, of course, with the Eid, at the end of Ramadan, people congratulate each other. You know, it is important for us to know whether this in fact was from the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or whether it was something which people have added as time went by. And the Imam has confirmed for us that it was from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad to greet his companions with the coming of Ramadan, and to also, he didn't mention this but I'm adding it, to greet his companions with the coming of the Eid. It was their practice. So it is from the Sunnah to do so. However, when this greeting takes on a particular form, using particular phrases which people feel must be said, then it starts to turn into the bid'ah. Though in its origin it is from the Sunnah, when people start to make it in a particular way and insist on that particular way, when you are greeted in a particular way, there is a particular answer to this greeting. And when it takes on that ritualistic format, which is expected from you by people, and you expect from people, then it starts to change into bid'ah. And especially when the Eid comes, or during Ramadan, when cards are sent. Cards are sent. Ramadan Mubarak cards and Eid cards. Now, this practice is clearly a practice of the Christians who give out Christmas cards with the coming of Christmas and during Christmas. This is their practice. And now when Muslims shift and take that practice and instead put, you know, Ramadan Mubarak or Eid Mubarak on it instead, you see, this does carry us over into the area of bid'ah. So we have to be careful that what may be sunnah, what has been decided by God as a part of the divine law, as conveyed to us by the Prophet, which we call the sunnah, that this, if we do not follow it as it was brought, then it becomes what is cursed by God, an innovation in the religion which has been cursed by God, which is known as bid'ah, the cursed innovation. And the Prophet Muhammad had said that we should fear the worst of affairs is the innovations. And every innovation in religion is a cursed innovation. And all such cursed innovations lead to hell. And surely, when we look at what has happened to Christianity, we see a classic example, wherein the teachings of Jesus, may Allah's peace and blessings be upon him, were left. And through the innovations introduced by Paul, the masses of Christianity today follow what can only be called bid'ah, cursed innovation. They follow a religion which in no way resembles what Prophet Jesus brought. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon him. And what is the result? The result is that those who claim to be following Jesus today worship Jesus. Shirk, idolatry, the greatest possible sin, the only sin which God will not forgive, which guarantees one a place in hell. This is the classical example of innovation leading to hell. And Muslims face that same possibility. If innovation, although it may seem very simple, the giving of greeting cards on Eid, it may seem simple. How does this take one to hell? But what happened is that the changes which took place in Christianity, it didn't take place at one instant in time. It was a series of little things here, little things there, which accumulated and caused them to deviate. So, the lesson in that for us concerning Ramadan is that we greet each other with the coming of Ramadan. We greet each other on the Eid, but we stay within the bounds that the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ has set for us. We can greet with any greeting. There are no special greetings. And we should not add on to these practices, other practices which may come from other religions. And the Imam advised us to take the opportunity of Ramadan, because in it there are many opportunities for us to gain the pleasure of Allah. And in the end, and he quoted a hadith or a statement of the Prophet ﷺ wherein Allah had said concerning one in the next life, after living this life, that if he finds good, then he should thank Allah. When he leaves this life, if he finds good, he should thank Allah. And if he finds evil, he should only blame himself, because he was given ample opportunity. The opportunities were there. And if he finds evil at the end, it's because he did not take advantage of these opportunities and instead allowed himself to fall into evil and as such earned for himself a terrible punishment. Then he reminded us concerning fasting, saying, how many of those who fast end their fast with hunger and thirst alone? How many of those who go through the practice of fasting, but all that they get out of it is hunger and thirst? And how many of those who pray, stay up at night in prayer, in Taraweeh, and all that they get out of it is tiredness? Their legs become tired. What he's saying is to beware of the ritual. Beware of the lifeless ritual. That fasting is not merely giving up food and drink between dawn and sunset, but it is a spiritual process wherein we seek to purify ourselves of evil thoughts and evil deeds, with the aid of physical abstention. That the physical abstention, the physical giving up, is not the end, the goal. It is a means, a way for developing the spiritual abstention. Because we as human beings are made up of both the physical and the spiritual. There are these two aspects which constitute our being. And when we strive to develop ourselves, or one aspect of ourselves, the other aspect has to come into play. Now the goal of the fasting was to develop ourselves spiritually. But this is not done in the absence of physical means. So the giving up of the food, the giving up of drink, the giving up of sexual relations, all of these are to help to prepare us spiritually to give up the evil thoughts and the evil deeds which result from our thoughts. So this was an advice to the Imam, from the Imam to us, to reflect on the spiritual goals of fasting and to strive to attain them, so that our fast does not merely become a physical state of hunger and thirst. And similarly, the prayers. As Allah had said, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. That prayers prevent us from evil speech and evil deeds. So the physical movements that we go through, the words that we say, it is there to have an effect on us in such a way as to create a righteous individual who speaks righteousness and he does righteousness. So again, these physical restrictions which come in the prayer, the movements which are limited, these are all part and parcel of a system which would help us to spiritually limit ourselves, to spiritually stop ourselves from evil speech. As in the prayer, we strive to say what is pleasing to God, and evil deeds, as in the prayer, when we strive to do the movements which are pleasing to God. And these movements, when we stand for God, when we bow for God, and when we prostrate for God, all of these movements are demanded by the objects of worship in this life. The president, the leaders, the kings, those individuals of power in this life, they demand this from their subjects. Stand in my presence. When the judge comes into the court, you are commanded, all rise for the honorable so and so and so and so. The powerful leaders have their subjects bow to them. And the more powerful they are, the more they're able to make that bowing evolve into prostration. This is the ultimately powerful leader whose subjects prostrate themselves at his feet. For us, this is only due to God, because he is the only king, true king, Malik al-Nas. He is the only true king, and he is the only one that we stand for, that we bow for, and we prostrate for. So when we are doing these actions in Salah, we are confirming that Allah is the true king of mankind, and the only one who is due the standing, the bowing, and the prostration. And as such, we would not submit ourselves outside of prayer in such ways as to do what has been prohibited by God for the sake of these powers that be around us. And the Imam also pointed out, and to tell you the truth, this khutbah that he made was filled with many, many, many different ideas and concepts, all of which are very important for us to reflect on not only in Ramadan but throughout our lives. He spoke of the different levels of people, of those who fast and of those who pray.